Well, that's a beautiful song, and I pray that's the message on our hearts this morning. Lord, here am I. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be in chapter 2, and we're going to start there in verse 18, and we're going to go to verse 28 this morning. I appreciate everybody so much on the sunrise service last Sunday and the Easter service. We had such a beautiful day in the Lord. And now as we get back into the Gospel of Mark and go back several chapters from where we were at last Sunday, we'll pick back up after Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector. He calls Matthew to what? Follow him. And Matthew dropped everything and he followed him, and he hosted a big banquet for Jesus, and he hosted a big banquet for his friends, and the Pharisees were all over Jesus and his disciples. Why is he eating with sinners? And in every gospel besides John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Pharisees come right back after him and they question him on several different things. They question him over fasting, and then they question him over the Sabbath. And so we want to work our way through this text this morning, verse by verse, and we want to look at a couple of things, because I think all of us in here may have some questions about how we are to worship God through fasting, or what is the Sabbath, when is the Sabbath, those types of things. And we want to work our way through that, and we want to be truthful to the Word of God. So let's do that this morning. In verse 18 in Mark chapter 2, it says, "The disciples of John," now that's John the Baptist, "and of the Pharisees were fasting." Now, fasting means that you go without food, okay? And as they went out without food, there was only one time in the Old Testament that they were required to fast. And that one time that they were required to fast is the Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur. We know it as the Day of Atonement. That was the one time that they were required to fast. However, just like man does in churches today, the Pharisees had put all kinds of different rules on fasting. And one of the rules that they put on fasting is that you needed to fast two times a week. Two times a week. And when you fast, it should be known to everyone that you are in fasting, that you are doing without food. Now, is it prescribed in the New Testament to fast? No, it's not. So you, today, go eat your breakfast, go eat your lunch, go eat your supper. However, I would say this, if you are convicted at times to pray over a situation, and I have, and the Bible says don't tell people when you do it, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute, but when you do that, you are to do it in prayer, you are to do it in mourning. There's many people in here that have mourned the loss of a loved one, and there is just no way that you feel like eating. You know, the churches, they give big lunches for funerals and things like that. And sometimes people just don't want to eat. I talked to people before as a pastor. They said, "Michael, I can't even eat." Of course, because you're in mourning. There's a lot of people that do this fasting for this. So when we talk about fasting this morning, Jesus, he spoke about it. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Reward you openly. So, here we go. Jesus tells the rules for fasting. Does he give us a prescribed time to do it? Does he tell us that we have to do it? Absolutely not. But he says, here is the method for doing it when you may be called to do it. So the hypocrites, the Pharisees, would get out there, and what that word means, disfigure their faces. They would put makeup on their faces to make them look like they were sad. They would make them look like they had these disfigured faces that made them look like they were sad, so that people knew that they were fasting. John the Baptist, his followers, were fasting. The Pharisees were fasting. And as they were fasting, the Pharisees came to Jesus in verse 18. And they said this, "Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Now listen to this profound statement that Jesus gives the Pharisees. Verse 19, "Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them. As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Now listen to this symbolism that Jesus applied here. We, the body of Christ, is always referred to in the New Testament as the bride. Okay? And the bride is going to become and be caught up to the bridegroom. Praise God for that. And the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And the disciples, the friends, quote unquote, that were with Jesus, he says, why do they need to fast when they're with the bridegroom? All of you in here have been to a wedding. Every wedding that I've been to has been a celebration. I've never been to a wedding where it was Debbie Downer. Every wedding, even people that were unequally yoked, it's been a celebration. Now, maybe a couple months later, it might end in divorce. But the bottom line is, every wedding I've been to, it's been a celebration. Man, they would walk the aisle. The couples would be smiling. The families would be rejoicing. You would go back here to the fellowship hall for the ceremony, for the celebration, and the cake and the food. And everybody's just having a great time of feasting. And so Jesus says, hey guys, why should they be fasting when they're with the bridegroom? Praise God. When they're with the bridegroom. So he takes these hypocrites, these Pharisees, back a minute, and he says this in verse 20. This is the first time in the Gospels that he alludes to his death. He says in verse 20, the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. This is a stunning statement because of the Greek. It says a sudden violent snatching away. It meant this, that Jesus would what? Jesus would become the atonement for our sins. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? He became the atonement for our sins. He was violently taken away. And there will come a time when the bridegroom will be taken. And then they will fast in those days. This is the first reference in the Gospels to his death. And as he references this, we may need to take note of a couple of things. And one of those first things would be this. Even though Jesus is not with us, does that mean that we are to fast? We know, we read last week in the Gospel of Mark, that when Mary Magdalene went to tell the disciples that Jesus had arose, the Bible says that they were mourning and weeping. You could probably put in there fasting, okay? We don't want to add anything to the Bible, but as they're mourning and weeping for their Savior that they believe that is dead, Mary Magdalene shares this news with them, and the Gospel of Mark says that they were mourning and weeping. They probably weren't eating and having a celebration. There was going to come a time when they would fast. Jesus predicted this. Why? Because he's omniscient. He knows everything. And so as we study this today, we've got to look at ourselves. Well, Michael, Jesus is not with us. Does that mean that we are to fast? Well, listen to this. You have something inside you called the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you today. And as he dwells in you, he has sealed you for the day of redemption. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? And as he has sealed you for the day of redemption, he that is within you is stronger than he that is in the world. And so as we know this, as the body of Christ this morning, we know that fasting may be something that's up to our personal liberties in Christ. Paul talks about that in the book of Romans. If you think that you need to fast, that's between you and the Lord. That's not between you and New Hope Baptist Church. That's not between you and the preacher. That's not between you and the deacons. If you feel like you need to fast, that's between you and the Lord. He makes this very clear through these statements. Then he gets to the next thing. And he tells them something that they're very familiar with. He talks about two things. He talks about a tunic and he talks about wine. Let's look at this for a second. In verse 21, Jesus said, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. Wow. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If that tunic was ripped, they wouldn't take the new patch and put it on this old piece of garment, because the garment had shrunk, and all it's going to do when you patch that on there is it's going to make a bigger hole. What is Jesus alluding to here when he says the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse? The tear is made worse. What does this mean here? The Pharisees have instituted the religion of Judaism. And as they have instituted this religion of Judaism, they have made it all about rules And aren't you thankful today that our Lord and Savior, He came because of grace. He came because of grace. Okay? So when we dive into the Sabbath here in just a second, I'm going to give you some things to think about. Because there's some folks that I talk about this a lot, and they're like, oh, we've got to be rule followers. I totally agree. But let me tell you something, church. If we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, you know what we'll do? We will fulfill the law. We will. So I want you to think about this as we study what is happening here. Jesus has said this. He says, traditions have been developed, but I'm thankful today that our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords came to break traditions, aren't you? I'm thankful today that our Lord and Savior that brings us mercy and grace came to shatter rules and regulations. I'm thankful for that today. And so there's no burden on me. There shouldn't be a burden on you to walk in this Christian life. There shouldn't be a burden of guilt. There shouldn't be a burden of shame. There shouldn't be a burden of sorrow. Why? Because Jesus has came to give His grace to you. Jesus has came to be rich in mercy is what the book of Ephesians 2 says in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, did what? Saved a sinner like you and me. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? This is who Jesus is, and this is what He's telling the Pharisees. So He tells them about this tunic. Hey, it's just going to make the tear worse. I didn't come to be the new patch. I came to be the patch. And then He gets to the wine. We've talked about the tunic. Now we get to the wine. Now we have people that discuss that say it was just grape juice. Well, it couldn't be just grape juice. And I'll tell you why, because of the wine skins. Let's talk about that for just a second, okay? In verse 23. Jesus says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Where does Jesus get this from? It started in the book of Joshua, chapter 9. When they were carrying the wine and they had had it in old wineskins. And the old wineskins had split apart and the wine spilled everywhere. You can read that for your homework, Joshua chapter 9. But let me encourage you on this. The wine. They took the wine and the goat. They would take a goat. They would slaughter the goat. And then they would take the hide off the goat. And they would cure the hide off the goat. And then they would take the goat hide and they would sew it into these wine skins. And when the grape juice was taken and poured into the new wine skin, the grape juice went through something that you know through high school chemistry called fermentation. And in this fermentation in the new wine skin, they would have to take the wine that was in the new wine skin, the new wine in the new wine skin, and pour it into another wine skin that was new, and keep doing this until the wine had fermented, and then it was ready to drink. So Jesus tells them this. He says very clearly, He says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. They knew this from the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. Because if you put new wine into old wineskins, what's going to happen? That wine's going to ferment and that old wineskin, that goat hide, is going to burst. And Jesus said that wine's going to spill everywhere. It's going to spill everywhere. And then He says this. He said the wineskins will be ruined. So He says new wine must be put into new wineskins. What was He telling the Pharisees? He was telling the Pharisees a very simple analogy here. You think that you can put me into your old traditions and rules and regulations. You think that you can take what I'm preaching and put it into your little wineskin. But He says, I'm the new wine. Praise God this morning. He is the water of life. And He says when He goes into the old wineskin, it's going to burst and spill everywhere. It's going to go everywhere, praise God. But He says new wine needs to be put into new wineskins. He shatters the teachings of the Pharisees and this Pharisaical law that had been expounded upon. Moses was given the law. We've been going through that on Wednesday nights with Brother Schaefer, doing an outstanding job. I wish y'all would all come to that. It's just outstanding on the law that was given to the Israelites. And here Jesus comes and he says, I've come to fulfill the law. I've come to fulfill the law. And how have I come to fulfill the law? Praise God, through his grace. Through his grace. And so when we look at this today, this new patch and the old garment, this new wine and the old wine skins, they just don't mix. Why? Because the Pharisees teach works of religion. Works of religion. This morning in churches all over the world, people will be standing up saying a catechism, believing that that's going to get them to heaven. People will be getting up and they will be reading a confession of faith from some book sitting out there in their pew, not from a Bible, but from some book. They'll be reading a confession of faith and they'll say, this is what's getting me into heaven. No, it's not. See, what they're trying to do is they're trying to take an old garment and sew a new patch to it. What they're trying to do is take an old wineskin and pour new wine into it. I'm here to tell you today, I'm thankful today that at New Hope Baptist Church that we worship the true and living God. And we worship the true and living God by singing praises to Him, by giving to Him, by praying to Him, by preaching the truth of the Word of God. That's how we worship our Lord. That new truth that He brings to us through His Word, through His ministry. Now we get to a section of Scripture that may be disagreeable with some, and that's fine. I was talking to Brother Schaefer Wednesday night about it because there's really no clear verse in the New Testament that points that the Sabbath has been replaced. The Sabbath has not been replaced. The Sabbath is Saturday. But we have to remember these rules, these commandments were given to who? They were given to the nation of Israel. Now, there are some people that believe in covenant theology. Covenant theology simply means this, replacement theology, if you will, where Israel and the church are the same. That's not true. God has a separate plan for Israel. He has a separate plan for the church. Praise God. And the only way that the Jews could be a part of the bride of Christ is to be saved by Jesus Christ. That's the only way. So when we think about this and we look at this, we have to keep these things into perspective. And as we keep them into perspective, Michael, well, the Ten Commandments are good. Shouldn't I be obeying the Ten Commandments? Yes, you should. But I'm going to tell you just like I told you a while ago. If you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you read every one of those Ten Commandments and you will do them. You'll do them. So let's think about this as we study God's Word, the Lord of the Sabbath. And we'll come back next Sunday because we're going to look at some more things that He does on the Sabbath. Sabbath is on Saturday, okay? The Lord's Day is the first day of the week, which is Sunday. That's why we meet here on the first day of the week. Many people say Sunday's the last day of the week. No, it's not. Sunday is the first day of the week. And why we gather here today, this morning, the first day of the week, is so why? We can get our week going in the right direction. Amen? We can get our week going in the right direction. That's why we meet on Sunday, the first day of the week, because the Lord arose. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Look at verse 23. Now it happened that He went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, His disciples began to pluck the heads of the grain. Can you picture this? This big wheat field, maybe? Corn field? I don't know. Probably wheat, more than likely. And they're walking through this big field. And they're walking on the Sabbath. And Jesus and His disciples, and the Bible says the disciples are going by just plucking the grain. They're plucking the heads off of the grain, and they're plucking the grain so that they can have something to eat. They have something to eat. Let's look at this. As they did this in verse 24, here's the Pharisees. Now this is funny to me because it seems like, you ever had those people that argue with you and they follow you everywhere you go? Like you try to get away and they follow you everywhere you go? You're like, hey man, I appreciate it. I got to go. I got to get home. I got my kids. I got to go. And they just follow you straight to your truck and just stand there. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about? Right? And they just want to try to get their point across to you. This is the Pharisees to Jesus and His disciples. They will not leave Him alone. And they've already broken their own stinking rules. The Bible says, the Talmud said that the Pharisees on the Sabbath could not walk more than 3,000 feet. They're following Jesus everywhere, breaking their own rules. And as they're breaking their own rules, they say to him, Lord, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Well, number one, the disciples were not breaking any law on the Sabbath. They weren't breaking anything. As a matter of fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says it was okay if you're hungry to go into your neighbor's field and to pluck the grains of wheat or corn or whatever it may be to the harvest so that you could have something to eat. That was lawful. They were not breaking any law on the Sabbath. Not breaking any law whatsoever. And the Pharisee says, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Oh man, don't you love our Lord and Savior? Look at what he says to them. He said to them, have you never read? Don't you think that ticked them off? These guys were the scribes of the law. They knew everything in the Old Testament. And Jesus, I can just see them walking in this field and Jesus turning around and looking at them and saying, haven't you ever read? Oh, don't you think they were taken aback? Haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him. Now that story, we don't have time this morning, but for your homework, I've asked you to read Joshua 9. I'm going to ask you for your homework to read 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21 to get the rest of this story here. And as we look at this, Jesus says how he went into the house of God. He went into the temple because he was running from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. And he ran into the temple with his friends, his warriors that were with him. And he ran into the temple and people say, well, this is a contradiction. Because it says here in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and in 1 Samuel 21 it says Amalek was the high priest. Well, Abiathar was his son. And so when Jesus said Abiathar and he says the days of Abiathar, it meant the same thing as the days of Amalek. So don't try to say that this is contradictory to history and the Word of God, because let me tell you something. Our Lord and Savior is not a contradiction. He says this, in the house of the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. Jesus said, don't you remember that? Don't you remember that? The showbread. In the temple, the priest had the 12 loaves of bread, the unleavened bread that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And when they went in there, that old bread can only be eaten by the Levitical priest. But David and his men were hungry, and the priest did what? The priest fed him the showbread. And David ate the showbread with his followers when? On the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. He says this, wasn't it not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him? Boy, he leaves them with a great question here. A great question. And I want to leave this with you as we ponder this today. Need is always more important than rules and regulations. Mercy always triumphs man-made doctrine. Grace abounds where sin is. And the Bible says of grace abounds much more. You and I need to remember that. Because church, I'm going to tell you something. I can fall into this trap. You can fall into this trap where we become modern day Pharisees. We judge people by what they wear. We judge people by the color of their skin. We judge people because of something that they said that you didn't agree with. We judge people because of this, because of that. And we get it in our preconceived mind that I am better than you. And that is one of the seven sins that we're going to preach on tonight that God hates. It's called pride. He hates it. And I really believe in New Hope Baptist Church, I believe in churches around the world, that there are churches full of people with pride. They think that they're better than somebody else. And Jesus said this to the Pharisees. You've got all these rules. The Mishnah said, the oral tradition of the Jews said that there were 613 Mosaic laws that they had to follow. Aren't you thankful we don't have to follow those laws this morning? 613. Would you be able to remember those? I can't even remember how to get out of here half the time, right? Can you imagine having to remember 613 laws of what you can and cannot do? Jesus said it best. He said, all you care about is your outward appearance. He said, you're nothing but a whitewashed tomb. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're just full of dead man's bones. What did Jesus tell these Pharisees? He said, you want to seem righteous on the outside, but inwardly, he said, you're nothing but full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's what he said. Boy, he was right on the money, wasn't he, when he dealt with these Pharisees. The Talmud, which is Jewish history, there's 24 chapters listing Sabbath laws. I'm not going to read those to you, but can I give you just a few this morning? I want y'all to think about this, because I've already broken some, okay? Let's think about this for a second. Your limit of travel was only 3,000 feet. That was your limit of travel on the Sabbath. Number two, listen to this. This is crazy. But this is what man does to God's Word. You could not carry a load heavier than a dried fig. Isn't that crazy? Watch this. Now, I've already broken this. You could not eat anything larger than an olive. And if the olive was sour, you could spit out the part of the olive and it only counted as a half. And then you could have to get another olive and you could cut it in half and eat it. And then you were still being lawful on the Sabbath. Is that crazy or what? Now let's think about that, church, right? Let's think about that. What are we doing today in 2021? It's kind of on the same wavelength. Can I get an amen? Women, ladies, y'all look great this morning, as usual. Y'all could not look in the mirror. You could not look. And back then they had these mirrors that were, you really couldn't see but a reflection of yourself. And as you've seen this, it wasn't clear like we have mirrors today. But you could see enough that maybe you was getting some blemishes or anything like that, that you would try to fix your hair or anything like that. It was unlawful. And then, last but not least, one that I just wanted to point out to you. You could not take a bath on the Sabbath. Because if water spilled on the floor, you couldn't clean it up. Isn't that something? But this is what the Pharisees did. They put all these rules and they put them in place and they said, follow them. And if you break them, we're going to bring you to the council. And when we bring you to the council, you're going to go before the council. And if you're before the council and it's something that's broken, then we're going to try you in court. Wow. Aren't you thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ? For you here today that may judge others. And can I get real with you this morning? I fall into that trap, right? Man, I fall into that trap sometimes. Paul said this to the church at Colossae. Let me read this to you just real quick. I should have marked it. I'm sorry. Colossians 2, verse 16. And 17, let no one judge you in food. So when you sit by me at Whataburger, don't you judge me. Let no one judge you in food or in drink. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Let no one judge you in food or in drink. Timothy, drink a little wine because it'll help your stomach. Timothy, why do you need to drink a little wine? Because the water in the Middle East is so bad. It's bad. The goats drink out of it. The sheep drink out of it. Drink a little wine for your stomach. Let no one judge you in food or in drink. This is what Paul is saying. He says, are regarding a festival or a new moon. A Jewish festival or a new moon. The Jewish calendar is not from the sun like the Gregorian, the Roman calendar is. The Jewish calendar is based on moons. So many of the Jewish holidays are based on what? They're based on full moons. Let no one judge you by a festival. Let no one judge you by a moon. And listen to what else he says, our Sabbath. That's interesting. Our Sabbath. Okay? We have denominations in Christianity that look down upon us because we worship on the first day of the week. They believe that we should worship on the Sabbath. Well, if you go back to the Ten Commandments, don't talk about worshiping on the Sabbath. It says to rest on the Sabbath. Amen? It says to rest on the Sabbath. And Brother Schaefer took us through that long list in Exodus chapter 20 of what we're to do on the Sabbath, right? Or not do on the Sabbath. Paul said, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Why? Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come. Listen to this. But the substance is of Jesus Christ. Is of Jesus Christ. Last but not least, as we close this morning, the last two verses, 27 and 28. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. He was given the Sabbath to man to rest. To rest. Some people's Sabbath may look different in our society. Some people have to work on Saturdays. Some people have to work on Sundays. Their Sabbath may be different, but God ordained it that there should be one day set aside for mankind to rest. These people that work 7 days a week, I was talking to an old boy, he worked 7 days a week, said he hadn't had a day off in 14 days, and he looked absolutely ragged. Why does God set the Sabbath aside? So that man can rest. Man can rest. He said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What did the Pharisees do? They put burdens on it, didn't they? They put burdens on it, didn't they? They put rules to it, didn't they? And people were slaved to the rules. But I'm so thankful that there was one that come to be the ransom for many. The servant of all time. His name is Jesus Christ. Verse 28. Jesus said, therefore, the Son of Man, he's referred to himself 80 times in the Gospels. 80 times. Isn't that amazing? The Son of Man. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is also the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord of the Sabbath. This is his claim that he is God. This is his claim that he is greater than the law. This is his claim that he is who he says that he is. Hey, dear friend, you may be sitting here today and it's always been about religious rules to you. There may be a dear friend here today that it's all been about tradition to you. I'm a Baptist because of the tradition of the Baptist church. Well, let me tell you something. Those traditions ain't going to get you nowhere but straight to hell. You may be sitting here today and you may say, well, I believe this because this is what I believe. Well, show us scripture on why you believe what you say you believe. Right? You may be sitting here today and you may be all about the rituals. I hope you're not. Where Sunday morning we get up and come to church and that's just what we do because that's our ritual. It shouldn't be something that you just do. It should be a lifestyle. That this is why we come together, because we come together to do what? To worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be about ceremonies. That we've got to be this proper when we do things in the Lord's house. Do I believe that things should be done decently and in order in the Lord's house? Absolutely. That's why we don't have testimonials. Okay? Testimonials can get way out there, way bizarre. Okay? Way bizarre. And people start saying things that are absolutely contradictory to the Word of God. And I've had people say, we need to have testimony tonight. No. No, we're going to preach the Word of God. Because when people start giving their testimonies, man, they're seeing angels. They're seeing things happen in their life that's just absolutely crazy. That's why we stick to the Word of God. So if you're here today because of ceremony or because of rituals or because of rules or regulations, or we need to let the Holy Spirit flow much, much more and stop being constricted to the Word of God, then you are at the wrong place. Because this church is going to preach the Word of God. And as we preach the Word of God, we're going to do it in the right way. Where it's not taken out of context, where it's not taken to make people feel good, but it's taken to convict our heart. And Jesus said, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So watch this. This morning on the way to school, to a church, I had Brooke in the front seat, and I said, Brooke, take my Bible and turn to the Gospel of John. I remember Brennan saying something back there when they went through the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 is one of the richest chapters in the Bible. Read John chapter 1. It will just, oh man, every doctrine of grace is in John chapter 1. Every one of them. I said, Brooke, I think it's right around verse 20,
I can't remember. Brooke, read it to me. And she started reading. It was back in verse 17. John said this. John chapter 1, verse 17. Moses was given the law. The law was given through Moses. Watch this. But grace and truth was given through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, we're thankful that we can come worship you today. We're thankful for your word today. Lord, give us the boldness to take on man-made religion. Give us the boldness to stop agreeing and stop conforming to the way man does things. And Lord, let us remember how you do things. Lord, we're not to patch an old cloth with a new patch. We're not to pour new wine into old wineskins. Lord, we're not to be thinking about all these rules and regulations to follow on the Sabbath, because Lord, you say in your word, and we believe this in truth this morning, that you are the Lord of the Sabbath. God, we praise you for that today. For my friends here today that may have been stuck in a rut of ritual, Lord, I pray that their hearts are convicted today. Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today that may be in a rut of just following what tradition says through a church covenant, Lord, I pray that we get back to your word and your word alone. Lord, I ask you to meet with us today. I ask you to convict hearts today. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we have not done this in this service. I'd like to have a public invitation. There may be somebody here that the Lord has put a burden on your heart. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and just pray, and that's quite all right. There may be some of you that would like to say, hey, it's time that we join the New Testament church. There may be some soul here today that's lost, and Jesus Christ has awoken you this morning and called you to salvation. Praise God for that. Call upon him today. There may be somebody sitting here today, you've been saved, but you've never been publicly and scripturally baptized, and you'd like to do that today. Maybe the Lord's calling you to do that today. We call you today. The Holy Spirit calls you today, not the preacher. Preacher wants to get out of the way. We want the Holy Spirit to move on your heart today. So as he does it, I ask you to stand, and I'll ask Brother John to come lead us in a song of invitation.
We're going to do that second song again. Lord, here am I.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Appreciate Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Alicia, and our choir. Appreciate you being here today. I hope you have your Bibles, and I hope you'll turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And this morning we'll be in verses 18 through 28. And if you're able, I'd ask that you stand in honor of God's Word. In every Gospel except John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see that after Matthew is called to follow Jesus, we see that the Pharisees challenge that. And we see that Matthew hosted Jesus into his home. We see that he had a party, if you will, for all the fellow friends and tax collectors. And as they gathered together, the Pharisees begin to follow Jesus around. And they're going to question a lot of things here in these next 10 verses. And Jesus has some very profound answers. Let's read God's Word this morning. Mark chapter 2, starting there in verse 18. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." Now it happened after they went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did? And when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word enriches our minds, enriches our hearts, and Lord, it pierces our souls. Lord, there's many of us in here today that can have such a Pharisaic, legalistic attitude when it comes to fasting, when it comes to the Sabbath, when it comes to various things that we look at and try to add man-made doctrine and man-made rules to things which you have set aside as holy in your word. Lord, I pray today that you convict our hearts, that our hearts follow you and you alone through your word. Lord, I just want to thank you for New Hope Baptist Church. It's amazing to come together in a body of Christ, and Lord, to see all the members working for your glory. Lord, I thank you for the ones that serve so faithfully. I thank you for the ones that do what you have called them to do. Their works were prepared beforehand by you, Lord, and in you alone, they want no glory. They only want to honor and glorify you. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, protect our children. Be with our children as they're in the nursery and children's church. And Lord, we just want to thank you today that we're able to have a nursery and children's church here at New Hope Baptist. I thank you for moms and dads that see the need to raise their kids up in the house of the Lord. I ask you to bless those parents this morning. Lord, challenge us today through your word. If there are traditions that need to be broken down, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit do that this morning. If there are hearts that are of stone this morning, Lord, I pray that they become flesh. Lord, I pray for that lost person here today that has no idea who you are, that are dead in the trespasses of sin. Lord, I pray today that you bring them to life, if it be your will. Lord, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. We love you, God. We praise your name today, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at verse 18, the disciples of John, this is John the Baptist, and not all of John the Baptist's followers had left to go follow Jesus. There were many still following John the Baptist. John the Baptist's followers, Jewish in background, also he says of the Pharisees, were fasting. What is fasting? Fasting is going without food. There was only one time in the Old Testament was prescribed to Jews to fast, and that was on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, one religious holiday to fast. The Pharisees got a hold of this, and they added so many different rules and regulations to fasting. The Pharisees recommended that you fast 2 days a week, and that when you fast, everyone should know that you're fasting. Now, there is no time in the New Testament that we are given a day to fast. There is no time in the New Testament that you are commanded to fast. However, there is an option to fast. And there are many of you in here today that may fast. And my prayer is that you're not fasting to lose weight, or you're not fasting to get a better figure. You're fasting because of the way the Bible prescribes us to fast when you may be convicted to fast. We fast in prayer. We fast in mourning. There's been many funerals that we've been a part of. And New Hope Baptist Church graciously feeds the family. And I have seen many dear saints say, I cannot eat right now because my heart is heavy. And I think that we as church members need to be cognizant of our people's needs and their desires. And if they say they're not hungry, we need to not force them. Oh, you need to come back here and eat. It'll make you feel so much better. This is between them and the Lord. And so many times people try to interfere in getting people's relationship between them and the Lord. And we are not to do that. So as we study this morning fasting, what's the appropriate way to fast? Well, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6, he says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites, it means somebody that was wore a different mask. They were one person one place and they were another person another place. Do you know people like that? It said they were hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they might appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is something that needs to be done between you and the Lord. The Pharisees would put some type of makeup on their face that would make them look like they were in mourning, so that when people would see them, they would say, oh, you're fasting. And that is definitely not how it should be. As a matter of fact, if you're fasting, no one should know about it except you and the Lord. Jesus gives a remarkable response here when the Pharisees ask him this question. John's disciples are doing it. The Pharisees are doing it. Why aren't your disciples doing it there in verse 18? They came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus gives such a profound answer. Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Amen. You and I, as believers in Christ, we are part of the body of Christ. Now we are gathered together and assembled together in the local body of Christ, but we are part of the large picture, the bride of Christ. Every time you hear the bride of Christ in the New Testament, he is talking about the church. What is the church? The church is the called out. The church is the saved believer. The saved believer is not just in the Baptist church this morning. Can I burst your bubble a little bit? Okay? The saved body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will be carried to where? To the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ. Now listen, I've done a lot of weddings since I was called to the ministry. And I'm batting probably pretty bad right now. Jacqueline can tell you most weddings that I've performed, they've ended in divorces. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I've been at that wedding, regardless if they ended in divorces, that woman and that man that stood before us as we did that ceremony before God, they were happy. They were smiling. They were in love. They were excited. The people in the audience, even though family members may have been squabbling and fighting among each other because they didn't want them to get married, they was smiling. They was happy. They was excited for that couple. And then they would go back to the reception back here. And then a lot of these young couples, they have these pastor weddings and have beer and all that stuff at them. And they go to the reception and boy, everybody's happy. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's having a good time. I've never been to a bad wedding. Everybody was having a good time. And Jesus asked that question to the Pharisees. He says, how, look at there, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Man, it is a celebration that the disciples were at the side of Jesus Christ. And man, what a celebration that they were having. They had just called Matthew, the tax collector, who was a sinner. They had called him to repentance and to follow Jesus. And what did he do? Because of that irresistible grace, he followed Jesus. And then they had this big party at Matthew's house. Were they sitting there fasting with sad faces? No, man. They were rejoicing in the Lord. Wow. I think you and I need to do a little bit more rejoicing in the Lord. He says this. He says, as long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. They cannot fast. The celebration was at hand. But then he references the first time in the Gospel of Mark, the upcoming death that he would go through on the cross for you and I. The death that he would be the atonement for sin. The atonement for whose sin? For sinners like you and me. Aren't you thankful for what Jesus did for sinners at the cross? This is what he says. He says in verse 20, the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Do you remember last week when Easter we studied in the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, Mary Magdalene had seen the risen Christ and she went to tell the disciples and they didn't believe. But what were they doing? They were mourning and they were weeping. They were mourning and weeping. They weren't eating and celebrating, but they were mourning and weeping because their Savior, they believed, was dead. But don't we know the rest of the story? Praise God, He's alive. And the bridegroom says this. He said, there's a day coming. There's a day coming when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And I want to encourage you on this because many of you may be saying, well, Michael, since He's not with us, do it mean that we need to fast? No, because we've been given the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that today. We've been given the Holy Spirit, and the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us, praise God, He's stronger than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit has sealed us for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit fills us, praise God. You and I here today, we are to not quench the Holy Spirit. So when we think about this today, it is a personal conviction whether you need to fast or not. You may be in mourning today of a lost loved one, and you feel the need to fast. That's between you and the Lord. There may be something that you're going through on the job or personal life or whatever it may be, and you just feel convicted by the Lord to fast. Just to fast. That's between you and the Lord. We don't go out and tell the whole world what we're doing. So when you think about this today, Jesus comes in and He tells this profound statement about Him being the bridegroom and His friends, the disciples, being the bride. He says in verse 21, He talks now about a tunic.
A tunic was a garment that they wore in the Middle East, and this garment that they wore would cover their whole body, protect them from the sun, protect them from the wind, protect them from the desert elements, and when they would walk, they would sometimes pull this tunic up. And sometimes as the tunic got old, as we all have old clothes in here, what would happen? There would become tears in them. And listen to what he says here about the tunic. He says, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Okay? You got to shrink it first. He says, or else the new piece is going to pull away from the old and the tear is going to be a whole lot worse. The new cloth that's going to be on there, because it's not shrunk, it's going to start pulling from the old tunic that's being worn, and it is going to tear. And Jesus is giving them an analogy here of this. Pharisees, you've got all these rules, you've got all these laws, you've got all these regulations that you follow. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm not coming in there to patch on to something old. He said, I brought something new. And I'm thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ brought something new. I'm thankful for His grace this morning. How about you? And so when He tells this to them, they're thinking about this. They're listening to this as He's giving them these analogies of things that they think about. And then He gets to the wineskins and to the wine. And He references back to Joshua chapter 9. They would take a goat and they would gut the goat. And they would take the hide of the goat and they would dry the goat out. And as they dried it out, they made these wineskins which they sewn together. And as they sewn them together, it would hold the wine. Now, we have many people in the Baptist church where it was grape juice. Okay, that's cool. It was grape juice once. But then it has to go through something that you learned in chemistry called fermentation. Joyce Williams could teach you on that if you'd like this morning. So in that process, they take this new wine. And if you pour the new wine into the old wineskins in Joshua chapter 9, it says they crumble and they spill apart. These old wineskins that are out in the heat, they're out in the elements, they're out getting all this moisture and things part of the old wineskins. The old wineskins start to tear, and when the new wine goes in, what happens? The new wine tears the old wineskins out, and the wine does what? It spills all over the floor. Wine was precious to the Jewish people. Wine was precious to the Hebrew culture. Why? Because the fermentation process that it took to make the wine that was drinkable for them, watch this, water was very, very polluted. Why? Because the animals drank the same water that the humans did. You and I would not go down to the creek here, down here, down in the river bottom, and drink out of that water, would you? I wouldn't. Same thing here. So this fermentation process takes place, and Dr. MacArthur went through this fermentation process where you take the new wine and you pour it into a new wineskin, into that new wineskin, into another new wineskin, and it goes through this process where it ferments. Because the fermentation of the new wine going into the old wineskin is going to do what? It's going to blow it plumb to shreds. I had a dear friend. I made a lot of dear friends at Brookshire's. A lot of the elderly that didn't have families. I don't know why, but they became my friend. I went over to a lot of their houses, hung out with old people, right? And one of them that I hung out with was such a sweet, dear friend. I miss her. A lot of stories on her. She was the oldest barber. Had Texas Country Reporter come down here and do a story on her. And she would make me continuously black-eyed pea casserole. And she would bring it to the store. And she asked me one day, she said, what time you get off? I said, 7 o'clock. She said, I'm cooking ribs. I said, I'll be there. She was a great cook. And man, I'd go over to her house and eat supper. And she'd always cut up and tease with me all the time. And, all the time. But this woman also had an affinity for fermenting wine. And I went over to her house one day and the back kitchen wall had blown out. I said, what in the world happened? And she said, oh, I got in there and got that wine and it blew the wall out, right? So if it can blow a woman's wall out in Mineola, Texas, it can blow old wineskins out in Hebrew times, right? So this wine falls out of the old wineskins. And Jesus says, hey, you can't put new wine in the old wineskins. He says, you've got to put the new wine in the new wineskins. What's he saying? He's saying this.
The Pharisees based everything on works. Everything. It was a works-based religion. It was a rule-following religion. Everything had rules. Everything had regulations. And we are to follow these rules and regulations to the T. And if we don't, then there is going to be a penalty. And Jesus comes in. Praise God. And He says, let me tell you, I didn't come to put the new wine into old wineskins. I didn't come in to put a new patch on an old tunic. He said, I come to tell you about who I am. Amen. I come to tell you that you need to repent and you need to believe on me. And the only way that you can do that is through His grace. And I tell you what, church, I'm thankful for His grace this morning. As we work our way through this, He's made some stunning statements. And as He's made these stunning statements to the Pharisees, they continue to bother Him. Do you know people like that? They'll follow you to your truck, just continue to question you, right? You can't get away because they've always got something they're nagging you about. Can I get an amen this morning? They're always bothering you about something, right? These guys were bothering Jesus to the T. And all He's trying to do is just get away. He's trying to walk on with His disciples just minding His own business. And the Bible says that in verse 23, it happened as they went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Now let's talk about the Sabbath for a second. I would invite all of you. I wish the church was this packed on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. Our brother Schaefer is just phenomenal preacher and pastor. And he teaches the Word of God verse by verse. And we've been going through the chapters of Exodus. And it is mind-blowing. And I would encourage you to come because he's been going through the law that was given to the Israelites. And we worked our way through the Ten Commandments. And man, we on Exodus 21 this past Wednesday night. But it is excellent study of God's Word. And I want to talk to you this morning just about this for a second. The Sabbath is on Saturday. Okay? The Sabbath hasn't changed. We have. Because the Jews, they went and rested on Saturday. Okay? The church, starting from Acts on, the Jews gathered in synagogues on the Sabbath, but the Gentile church, they worshiped when? On the Lord's Day. When's the Lord's Day? The Lord's Day, referred to in the Bible over and over again, is the first day of the week. The first day of the week is not Monday, church. The first day of the week's today. The first day of the week's Sunday. So how do you start off your first day of the week? Laying in bed, ready for the Cowboys to play in the fall? Gathering your family up to go to watch the Rangers today? By the way, they're horrible. What are you going to do today? Huh? What are you going to do today? You going to go to Walmart today? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do on Sunday today? You going to go out to the lake? You going to go fishing today? You going to go Six Flags today? What are you going to do today? You going to go to the ballpark and play ball today? What are you going to do today? Hey, for me and my house on the first day of the week, we're going to get up and we're going to go worship and honor the Lord. That's what we're going to do. So the Sabbath, it's on Saturday. Real quick, flip over in your Bibles to Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. I want you to look at Exodus 20, verse 8. I could just turn it over to Brother Schaefer right now. He's already preached this. We'll let him. This is God's holy commandments given to Moses. God's holy commandments given to Moses. Now, I've had people ask me this. Well, aren't we to follow the Ten Commandments? Yeah, absolutely. Well, didn't Jesus come to fulfill the law? Yeah, absolutely. So you know what? If I love Jesus with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my soul, and I love my neighbor as myself, guess what? I'm going to follow every one of these commandments. Does that make sense this morning? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Listen to what he tells us. He says, in it you shall do no work. No work. He says, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle. How'd you stop that from happening? Nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Did God need to rest? Absolutely not. He set this in place for the Jewish people to observe a day of rest. And as he did that, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It was the seventh day, which is Saturday, and we worship on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And as we look at this, Jesus and his disciples are walking in the grain fields on the Sabbath. Uh-oh. Now we got a problem. They're walking through the grain fields. They're walking through the grain fields. They've been told to rest. Did Jesus come to buck the system of the Sabbath? Absolutely not. Because what they were doing was not unlawful on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says that this was perfectly legal under the law. They went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Can you imagine this picture? They just left Matthew's house, the party full of sinners, and the Pharisees keep following Jesus. And they get out to the countryside into the fields of grain. And Jesus is walking and his disciples are following him. And they're going by the wheat and they probably got their hands out like this, just threshing the grain. And as they thresh the grain, they pluck it. They pluck it enough to where they can get them something to eat. This was not unlawful. But yet look at what the Pharisees said in verse 24. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" This is typical Pharisaic legalistic attitude. Adding more than whatever was. Always adding man-made rules, regulations, traditions, ceremonies, rituals, whatever you want to call it. Always adding more instead of sticking to the Word of God. So bear with me. Jesus. Did I tell you I love Jesus? Man. Look at what he says in verse 25. In verse 25 he says, "Have you never read?" Don't you think that ticked them off? These guys were the professors of law. These guys knew the law inside and out. These guys knew the Old Testament better than anybody at a seminary that we can call on today. They knew the law. And Jesus turns around. I can just picture this. Here's this beautiful harvest of grain. And Jesus and his disciples are going through there. And here's the Pharisees right along, bugging him to death, and he turns around and he says, "Have you never read?" Don't you think that just really incinerated them? "Have you never read what David, King David, the king of the Jews, one of the most storied hero to the Jewish Pharisees that ever lived? Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry?" Jesus is alluding back, and we don't have time this morning, but I encourage you in your homework to read 1 Samuel chapter 21. David was running from Saul. Saul wanted to kill David and his men. David and his men were hungry, so they showed up in the temple. And when they showed up in the temple to Amalek, and here's where a lot of people say, well, this is a contradictory of Scripture, because Jesus said this. He said, they went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar. Abiathar was Amalek's son. So it does not mean one thing to another. It means that it was in the days of Abiathar. It was in the days of Amalek. They went into the temple of God. They went into the house of God. And listen to this. When they went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, they ate the showbread. The showbread was 12 loaves to represent the 12 tribes of Israel that was laid out upon the temple table. And after a certain amount of time, only the priest could eat the showbread. And the priest said to David, "Hey, are you and your men clean?" What do you mean by that? He meant, "You and your men hadn't had sexual relations with any women, have you?" "No, sir, we've been clean. We're running. We're trying to get away from Saul." He says, "Okay, now you can eat the showbread." And what happened? They ate the showbread, and Jesus said, "Which is not lawful to eat because it is only for the priest." And he also gave some to those who were with him. Those guys that were with him, those guys that were probably peasants, probably warriors out from the hillsides, the priest gave some not only to David, but he also gave it to this vagabond army that God had called to protect David with him, gave it to him as well. If you'll see in the next chapter, there's 400 men called to David. It's an amazing story to show us what? Jesus throws it right in the Pharisees' face. Can I tell you something today, church? Need is more important than your ceremonies. Need is more important than your rituals. I'm thankful to stand before you today that says this: mercy triumphs the law. I'm thankful to stand before you today that says where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. I'm thankful to say that today in this. Why? Because Jesus just showed the Pharisees, you may think you've got everything figured out, but let me tell you something. You don't have nothing figured out. Because I didn't come to put a new patch on an old piece of cloth. I didn't come to pour new wine into an old wineskin. I came to show grace and mercy to sinners who come to repentance. Praise God, Miss Nelda. Amen to Jesus Christ today. So I want to show you something today. I want to show you something. In verse 27 and 28, Jesus makes a profound statement that shatters the Pharisees' religious legalism. Shatters it. He said the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for man. God gave man the Sabbath to do what? Rest. Rest. That's what chapter 20, verse 8 says. Rest. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Here's what man does to the Sabbath. Man always makes the Sabbath a burden. Man always makes the Sabbath a slave to rules and regulations. Can I share these with you today? The Mishnah was oral tradition of the Jews. Every daddy would teach his kids the Mishnah, the oral tradition of the Jews. There were 613 Mosaic laws. 613. Guys, listen to me. I can't even remember the scripture this morning that we're studying. Do you think I could remember 613 laws? There's no way. And if you're sitting here today saying, "Well, I keep every one of them," I'd like to follow you around for a day and prove you wrong. The oral traditions of the Mosaic laws. I love what Jesus told the Pharisees later on in the Gospel of Matthew. When he gave them the woes, he said, and guys, I say this in all love this morning. Isn't this how we are sometimes? He said, "You're just nothing but whitewashed tombs. Man, you look great on the outside, but on the inside, you're just full of dead man's bones." He told them very clearly. He says, "You try to look righteous, and everybody on the outside sees that you're righteous. But on the inside, all you're full of is hypocrisy and lawlessness." Man, is that not us today, church? I fall guilty of that. We're going to preach on the seven sins God hates tonight out of the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to tell you the number one thing on His list that He hates is pride. And I think there's a lot of us in here that have that parasitic pride. And we need to have our knees cut out from under us. We need to be at the altar praying for forgiveness of this pride. How many of us look down on somebody because of the way they dress this morning? How many of us look down upon somebody because of the way they look this morning? How many of us look down upon people of color when we go to town? How many of us look down upon people because we think that we've got it all together and everybody else ain't got it together? Guys, I'm guilty of that. I am nothing but a whitewashed tomb sometime full of dead man's bones. And I need to be brought to life. And the only way that you can be brought to life is through the grace of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. Man, the Talmud was their written history. There are 24 chapters alone given to Jewish law that you could not do on the Sabbath. Can I read some of these to you? Number one, these idiots have already broken number one. They're following Jesus around like a lost puppy. They're following Him all over the place. The Talmud says this on the Sabbath, you can't walk no more than 3,000 feet. That's what it says. They've already done that. They've already broke that. Number two, you're going to laugh at these, but I want you to think about 2021 local church and some of the ridiculous traditions and rituals we have too. Number two, you could not carry a load heavier than a dried fig. If you carried a load heavier than a dried fig, you'd broken the law on the Sabbath. Number three, you could eat nothing larger than an olive. How many of us have broke that today? Amen. Hey, watch this. If you ate the olive, and the olive was sour or not ripe, and you ate half of it, you could spit the other half out, but you could get you another olive and you could cut it in half and eat that part of the olive so that you just eaten one olive. Isn't that ridiculous? Right? Can I get amen? And I think about some of the ridiculous traditions and ritualistic things we have in our church that doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but we put them mightier than the Bible. What a shame, church. What a shame. Women, you could not look in the mirror. Enough said. On the Sabbath, baths, y'all don't do this anyway, do you? Baths could not be taken, right? Why? Because you might spill some water on the floor and therefore you'd have to clean it up and then you have broken the law on the Sabbath. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right. That's our prayer today. Oh, Lord. Lord. Thank you for your grace. If you judge people here today like I do, I need some convicting word. And I want to give that to you at this time. Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae. And as he writes to this church at Colossae, he says some very important things that I think all Christians need to take hold of today. Take hold of today. Listen. We are going to know people by their fruits. Right? So therefore, God has given us the discernment to judge people by their fruits. So I can sit down with somebody and know them about a week and know where they stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Don't y'all the same way? You'll know who's lost and you'll know who's saved just by hanging out with them. Right? We're called to do those relationships. But Paul wasn't talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to believers. And he's talking to believers. He gives some things that I think would be beneficial for every one of us here today. He says, so let no one judge you in food. Oh. Okay. Debbie, when you come sit by me at Whataburger May 18th, don't you judge me because I get a double meat, okay? Let no one judge you in food. Then he goes on and he says this. He says, let no one judge you in drink. Oh. We need to look down on those Jews because they drink that wine that's fermented. Shame on them. That's not what Paul says. Timothy, have a little wine so it'll help your stomach. Why? Because that water's so bad. Now, does that tell you and me to go out there and get hammered? Absolutely not. It tells us that we've got purified water that we can drink as our beverage, right? But man, I break that all the time. I drink Cokes, Dr. Peppers. I need to put them away, right? Yesterday I drank 2 cups of coffee and 2 sweet teas and a Dr. Pepper. That's why I'm so wired this morning, Tracy. Let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival. This was a Jewish festival or a new moon. The Jewish people would have ceremonies around new moons. Remember, the Jewish calendar is not based on the sun like ours is. Ours is a Gregorian Roman calendar based on the sun. The Jews' calendar is based on lunar. It's based on moons. And every time there is a full moon, you're going to see their religious days fall upon these full moons. Let no one judge you regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Let no one judge you. If you worship on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, let no one judge you. If you worship on Sunday, let no one judge you. If you worship on Monday, let no one judge you. For my Bible tells me that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Every day is the Lord's day. Paul says, which are a shadow of things to come. Paul told this to the Romans as well in the book of Romans 14, I believe it is. Listen to this. It's a shadow of things to come, but it's the substance of Christ. What is the substance of Christ? Grace. Praise God. Grace. That unmerited favor. And last but not least, in verse 28, as John based the song service off this verse, as we close here this morning, last but not least, therefore, Jesus makes this profound statement, therefore the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Now this is important, because he's making a claim. He's making a claim. Son of Man is used 80 times in the gospel, they say in our commentaries. Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. He is making a claim that He is God. He is God. And as He is God, we have to take some things into account. There's some of you here today, and man, I've fallen into the trap as well. There's some of you here today that's followed religious rules and guidelines. Jesus came to shatter rules and religious guidelines. There's some of you here today that's followed a Baptist tradition. This is what we do in the Baptist church, and we're going to keep doing it in the Baptist church, regardless if it doesn't say it in the Word of God. Well, I'm here to tell you today that's a dangerous doctrine to stand by, because you and I should not stand by some man-made doctrine. We should stand by the Word of God. There's many people today in ceremonies all throughout the world that will stand up and they'll recite a catechism. There's many people in ceremonies all around the world today that will stand up and they'll get a confession of faith from the pew and they'll read from the confession of faith, and they will not read from the Word of God. Shame on them. Ceremonies and rituals send people to hell. Jesus' grace covers a multitude of sins. There's some of you here today, well, I believe this. Why? Because that's what my granddaddy told me. I believe this when it says this in the Word of God. I think Dr. David Dykes wrote a book about the 12 sayings Christians say that are nowhere in the Bible. Right? Nowhere in the Bible. But yet people say them all the time. I believe this. If you believe in what you think you believe and you're basing your religion on fables and stories, you're going to split hell wide open. There's only one who came to save, and His name is Jesus Christ. There's so many rituals and ceremonies and behaviors that people go through. You say, Michael, what do you think order of worship should look like? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this should be done decently and in order. And I believe that. I believe that when we come in here, we ought to have a time to give. I believe we ought to have a time to pray. I believe we ought to have a time of praise and worship. And the most important thing, not because of me or any other preacher in here, the most important thing of why we come to church is to study the Word of God. That's why we come. And so as we come and we do all these things and we gather together to do these things, there are so many rituals and ceremonies that are out there today that it just absolutely blow my mind. I have seen this an epic fail personally, and I'll never do it. We need to have testimony night. No, we don't. We don't. Well, don't you trust people to get up there and say something from the pulpit? No, I don't. Because trust me, we've had testimony night here. And there's been some people say some of the wackiest, craziest things. And I'm not contradicting anybody here today, but if it doesn't align with the Word of God, it's not true. It's not true. So you can have all these visions and you can see all these things and you can say, well, the Lord did this and the Lord did that. But if it does not align with the Word of God, then you need to stay off the chocolate cake and Coke before you go to bed. This morning, coming to church, my heart was stirred from something that Brennan had talked about when he went through the Gospel of John with the youth. Another part of your homework. Read John chapter 1. Just that. All the doctrines of grace are covered in John chapter 1. Every one of them. And I said, I remember something that was said during John chapter 1. I said, Brooke, take my Bible and read that to me. I think it's in verse 20. Then she started reading. I said, no, go back up a little further. I think it's somewhere else. She did. John chapter 1, verse 17. The law was given through Moses. But grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your grace and truth. Man, I get so emotional sometimes thinking about how You could save a sinner like me. And Lord, I just want to praise You for that today. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your truth. Your Word convicts. Your Word is strong. And Lord, there may be people here today that's fasting just to lose weight. Convict their hearts. There may be people here today that's trying to put a new cloth on an old spin of traditional religion. Trying to pour new wine into old wineskins. Lord, I pray that they're convicted today that You came to fulfill the law. Lord, people here today that may have issues with the Sabbath, issues with worship. Lord, we read in Your Word that in the last days people are going to fall away. Church attendance is going to decline. As we watch the news, we see that church attendance has declined after COVID up to 50%. Lord, people that were never Your sheep, they never come back. But Lord, the ones that are Your called, the ones that are Your sheep, they always come to the shepherd. Thank You for Your call. Thank You for Your irresistible grace. This morning, there's friends, there's family, there's ones out there that may need to be convicted by what's been preached here today. Lord, my prayer is that they come to Your altar and come straight to You. Lord, there may be ones here today that are dead in their trespasses of sin and need You to awaken them to life, Lord, that they can call upon You and You give them the gift of faith that they can call upon You to be saved. Lord, if that is Your will, we pray that today. Lord, for us that may fall into the trap of legalism, for us that may fall into the rules and regulations of church, Lord, may we look only to You for Your unmerited favor and grace. We love You, Lord. We praise You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen. We're going to do something we hadn't done in a long time. We're going to have a public invitation this morning. This morning, in the 9 o'clock service, we've seen a couple come back to us and want to join New Hope Baptist Church, and we welcomed Bill and Joyce Willard back in our fellowship this morning. Praise God. I really do. I believe the Lord's working on some hearts this morning. I believe there's some of you. You know what you need to do in 2021? You need to come and you need to unite in fellowship with New Hope Baptist Church. There's some of you here this morning, you've never been saved. You have no idea what it means to be saved. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Preacher can't save you. Ain't nobody here can save you, but Jesus Christ can save you. He's ready to save you right now. There's people here this morning, you're sitting here, you may have been saved by Jesus Christ, you may be walking with Him, but you've never been scripturally baptized in a local New Testament church, but the Lord's putting that on your heart today. Come do it. Hey, listen, I really believe this with all my heart. We are in the last days. And as we are in the last days, you can see the writing on the wall. Those seven sins I'm going to preach on tonight, guys, listen, they are in full effect. Full effect. The Lord's coming soon. And if He's coming soon, you know what I'd want to make sure of? I'd want to make sure I'm right with Him. And the only way you can do that is His amazing grace. Let's stand. Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Alicia.
We're just going to sing that song again that we sang earlier, number 537, Lord, Here Am I.